Morning, everyone. This morning we would like to speak with you briefly regarding the subject of zeal and its necessary role in true brothers and sisters of Christ. We would like to start by briefly reviewing the work of two faithful men of old who were zealous for Yahweh their God in a time of trouble and rebellion. Two men who rose up to act for the salvation of their people despite the wickedness of the congregation. While the lives of these men could bring forth many exhortations, we will concentrate on their zeal alone. We will use these men as well as other verses throughout the Scripture to drive home zeal as a characteristic that many of us, myself included, need to work on. The first man we'd like to speak about is Phinehas. Please turn with me to Numbers chapter 25, verses 3 to 13. Numbers 25, verses 3 to 13. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of Yahweh was kindled against Israel. And Yahweh said unto Moses, Take all the head of the people, and hang them up before Yahweh against the sun, that the fierce anger of Yahweh may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, Slay ye every one his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought to his brethren a Midianitish woman, in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore say, Behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it in his seed after him, the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God, and made it an atonement for the children of Israel. In the verses before us, we find Israel almost having reached the promised land. They were almost there. They were still, though, in continual rebellion as they committed whoredom in the matter of Baal Peor. Due to the outright sin in Yahweh's face, he put a plague upon his people, a plague that would not be stayed unless atonement, the cutting off of flesh, was made. As a faithful young brother in Christ, the young priest Phinehas knew what to do. He did not dilly-dally or wait for instruction, but quickly rose up, taking a javelin, and cut off the sin at its source. The plague was stayed. Atonement was made. With his faithful actions, Phinehas, of course, typed a much greater man than he, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Was there anyone more zealous than Jesus, a man who always was about his Father's business of salvation, even at a young age? Of course not. This zeal was so strong that it was prophesied beforehand as a characteristic that is coupled hand-in-hand with his sufferings, a point we should take to heart. If we are zealous for the Lord, we too may suffer. We look over at Psalm chapter 69. Psalm 69, verses 7 through 9. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach, shame has covered my face. I am become a stranger to my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. Now please turn with me to the fulfillment of these verses in John chapter 2, verses 13 to 17. And obviously Christ's whole life was a fulfillment, but this is where we find this phrase in the New Testament. John chapter 2, verses 13 to 17. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and found in the temple those that sold oxen, and sheep, and doves, and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep, and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, Take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written over there in Psalm 69, The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. But we're not going to take the time to turn there. Isaiah 59, verse 17 says that Jesus was clad with zeal as a cloak. So zeal was his cloak. It was an inseparable part of the righteous character he developed, and so too should it be of ours. At this time, we'd like to consider what exactly is zeal. We have looked at two examples in Phineas and our Lord Jesus, and we can see that this characteristic requires faith and requires action. Neither man would back down with regards to the truth. If you look up the English word in a dictionary, you'll find that it means something like fervor for a person, cause, or object, an eager desire or endeavor, enthusiastic diligence or ardor. But in Scripture, the zeal has a slightly different meaning or context. The Hebrew word for zeal, which is kenal, actually means jealousy or envy. Now, this, of course, may seem strange at first because we typically view jealousy in a negative light in today's vernacular. But what exactly is this jealousy regarding? If we look at the lives of Jesus and Phineas, there's no doubt that they were jealous for the Yahweh name. And this is really the true definition of zeal in the Bible, jealousy for Yahweh's name. Phineas was jealous regarding the honor that Yahweh deserved, and he went in with his surgical strike on sin. Jesus was jealous regarding his father's house when he made a scourge of small cords and overturned the tables of the money changers. While Phineas and Jesus are both excellent examples of zeal in the Scripture, ultimately zeal is a characteristic of Yahweh himself. You may remember a verse from the Scripture that says something like, "The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this," or another phrase like that. Let's turn to just one example in Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts," or Yahweh of armies, "will perform this." So these things are set in stone. Yahweh is jealous for his name and his plan. They will come to pass. Since zeal is a characteristic of both Yahweh and Jesus Christ, we too must develop it. We too must be jealous of the great prize, the hope of eternal life that Yahweh has given. We too must be ready to stand up against sin, whether doctrinal or moral, firstly in ourselves, and that's a key point, firstly in ourselves, and then secondly in our ecclesias. Unfortunately, zeal is one of the hardest characteristics for a servant of God to develop. It is easy to be lulled into a state of lukewarmness where we may lose our jealousy for Yahweh and the covenants of promise. We all have gone through or may be going through these times. Jesus' letter to the Laodicean ecclesia tells us that we must wake up. Let's look at Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. Revelation 3, starting at verse 14. "And unto the angel of the ecclesia of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." As mentioned earlier in our talk, zeal can be coupled with chastening. If we are zealous for the truth, we will experience adversity. Nonetheless, many times chastening can come from above, as seen here. "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." Chastening is sent from above to sharpen us, polish us, in preparation for use in Yahweh's kingdom. As we see the Lord's rebuke, that we must be zealous and repent of sin, we might ask, well, how can I be zealous? Certainly we may be in situations where we, like Phineas or Jesus, must stand up for the truth at a moment's notice. Most of the time, though, that's not the case. Most of the time, though, we show our zeal or lack thereof by our works or our lack of works. For example, let's turn to Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 15. Titus chapter 2, 11 to 15. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Here we read one of those reasons that Christ died. As he focused on the joy set before him, used to endure the stake and despise the shame, he could see his bride through the eye of faith, a bride that would be redeemed through his sacrifice. He could see that multitude of mighty ones, those brethren and sisters who, like Phineas, were zealous of good works. These works, as an outworking of their faith, are what Christ desires. For as he said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 16, ye shall know them by their fruits. And again over here, through his sacrifice, he has redeemed a people that are to be zealous of good works. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. From 1 Corinthians 15:58. As we begin to conclude, we see that zeal is a necessary characteristic that Jesus will look for in every saint in judgment. As 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. As part of this standing fast in the faith, may we all be zealous to defend the truth and to develop good works for the glory of Yahweh and his vineyard. It is important that our zeal is according to knowledge, unlike the zeal that Israel showed in Romans chapter 10, verse 2, or that Saul showed in various verses it's recorded, but Saul showed before his conversion on the road to Damascus. It is also important that our zeal is coupled with other parts of the fruit of the Spirit, such as long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and temperance, for indeed there is only one fruit of the Spirit, and all these characteristics have a part. Above all, when applying zeal to our walk, we must ask, is this zeal or jealousy for mine own name's sake, or is this jealousy for Yahweh's holy name and plan of salvation? Zeal for ourselves will only lead to death. Zeal in the latter, for Yahweh's name, will lead to life. If we need extra motivation to help us develop zeal, let us think about our Savior and the great sacrifice that he accomplished, and the reward that he in turn has received, eternal life, with blessings yet to come. We also know from the Scriptures where Phineas will end up, as he has received the covenant of an everlasting priesthood. We already read this morning, but just turning back quickly to Numbers chapter 25. Numbers chapter 25, verses 12 and 13. This is Yahweh's response to the actions of Phineas. He says, wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he, Phineas, shall have it, and his seed after him, the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made an atonement for the children of Israel. Let's also turn over to Psalm 106, verses 28 through 31. Psalm 106, verses 28 to 31. The psalmist records, they joined themselves also unto Baal Peor. They ate the sacrifices of the dead. Thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions, and the plague break in among them. Then stood up Phinehas and executed judgment, and so the plague was stayed. And that was counted unto him for righteousness unto all generations forevermore. We see then that Phinehas' outcome is sure. Let us then, brethren, make our calling and election sure. For as Jesus once said to the Laodiceans, to him that overcometh, I will I grant to sit with me, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Dear brethren, be zealous therefore and repent. Thank you.